The whole state stopped on Wednesday as TV stations and radio stations brought you what was happening inside the walls at 1265, where Matt LaFleur was eventually, after some filibustering from Mark Murphy, eventually introduced as the team's 15th head coach. And in that room was our Michael Cohen. He writes for The Athletic. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Did Mark Murphy make it clear to you that this was his hire yesterday, if there was ever a doubt? I don't know if there ever was, but that Murphy was, this was going to be his hire.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Murphy made that pretty clear, I thought, 5 weeks ago, you know, when he said that he would be making the decision. And I think that that certainly is true through the interview process. And, you know, the Packers made it clear that, Gutekunst and Russ Ball, the two guys that were on the road with him as well, interviewing candidates, they made sure to make it clear that all three of those guys agreed on LaFleur as the best choice. But there was no doubt that Murphy was leading the way, and this was his decision. And the success or failure of LaFleur will go a long way toward indicating Murphy's job security down the road as well.
I believe my theory here, Michael, and this could just be because Gutekunst is a fellow UW lacrosse alum like myself, and I think very highly of other alum. I think Gutekunst is more in charge than we are seeing. My theory would be that this is Gutekunst's guy, because when I watched those two yesterday, I get a vibe very similar to an experience that I had, and it was just a radio job. You know, this is football, completely different worlds. But I had a boss who wanted to be in control, and so I let him think that he was in control, and basically every decision that he made was kind of my decision. Would you give any credence to my theory that Gutekunst was the one that, like LaFleur, got Murphy to be convinced that it was his decision, and now if LaFleur doesn't work out, it's going to be Murphy, because he was up there saying, pounding his chest, this is my guy, that it's going to be Murphy who has to be accountable for it?
Well, I don't think there's any question that Gutekunst likes LaFleur, but I'm a firm believer that this was Murphy's deal. I mean, I think that it was obvious that he wanted this to be his search, that he wanted the potential, you know, glory, if you will, that comes from hiring a successful head coach. And, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that Murphy listened to Gutekunst and those guys. But at the end of the day, I think this was a Murphy hire, and the way he described the process and everything, it was pretty prototypical of what you'd expect from Murphy as a former athletic director and somebody who has gone through hiring searches from a collegiate / educational background. And I thought the way he described what took place was extremely similar to how he would have conducted a search as an athletic director. So, you know, again, I think that Gutekunst likes LaFleur. I think Gutekunst probably believed LaFleur was the best candidate, but to me, this whole thing was orchestrated by Murphy.
Yeah, that whole press conference yesterday, the 45-minute press conference, I learned more about the process, I felt, than actually learning about LaFleur. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I thought one of the things Murphy did well was, you know, explain, you know, pretty transparently how the process was conducted. There were some other things during that press conference that he didn't do as well, but I thought the detail that he provided in terms of how things played out and the timeline and the candidates and all that, I thought it was very honest. And, you know, it was, you know, if you went back and looked at the total amount of time that each guy up at the podium spent, you know, talking, Murphy far and away spoke more than anybody else. So I think that he was, you know, sort of in control of that environment yesterday. And yes, I agree with you. I did learn more about the process than I did about LaFleur.
We'll get more into this tomorrow, I think, with everything that's going on to cover today. But one thing that I wanted to ask you, Mike, was when you look at, I guess, the contract and the expectations, 4 years, fifth year option, it seems like everyone's getting that. So that's standard. That's what NFL coaches are getting here. But when Murphy hands it over to LaFleur and says, yeah, we haven't been in the playoffs in 2 years, let's get back there. With Aaron Rodgers on board, with everybody on board, did anything about yesterday change your mind in terms of how long they're going to give Matt LaFleur to decide if he's going to be a success or not?
Well, I think, you know, if things go poorly, I think he would get 2 years. I think, you know, obviously he's going to get 1 year, and then I don't think there's any chance they would fire him after 1 year unless they went, you know, 2-14 or something completely ridiculous like that, and I don't think there's any reason for that to happen. So, you know, I mean, if they miss the playoffs for 2 straight years, you know, I think that could be enough for them to say, hey, you know, we were wrong, see you later. And then at that point, it's a question of, does Murphy lose his job as well? But I think the bottom line is that if they go 2 more years without reaching the playoffs and it's 4 straight seasons without the postseason, you know, at that point, they'd have to look long and hard and say, hey, we gambled a little bit on this 39-year-old guy, even though we all really liked him. And, you know, can we really afford to potentially go a 5th straight season without making the playoffs? And at that point, I would think the answer is no. So in my opinion, he's got 2 years to make tangible progress. And then, you know, if they miss the postseason in the second year, but they go 9-7 and it just happens to be a season when the other wild card teams are better than that, you know, maybe he does get a 3rd year. But I think he's got to make the playoffs one of his first 2 seasons to really validate, you know, this is a viable selection.
Another thing I found really interesting yesterday that, you know, they said none of the other candidates really bowled them over. And what would they have done if they didn't hit on LaFleur? Because, you know, even Murphy said...
Murphy really dragged some guys.
He did.
That was unbelievable.
He did. And then he said, you know, thank God, basically, that LaFleur hit. What would he have done, man? He would have hired a guy he wasn't thrilled about.
Well, this is the interesting part of all of that to me, is I think the Packers really towed the line of realizing that what they were saying yesterday was that they hired the guy that was the best interview. And then they had to kind of catch themselves on the fly and say, well, he was also the best candidate. He was also the best candidate. We didn't hire him just because he interviewed the best. And one of the things to keep in mind is that, you know, by nature, football coaches tend to be guys that are a little gruff, that are a little bit, you know, rough around the edges, because the sport that they oversee and the sport that they coach requires those things. So you can be a poor interviewer in terms of a formal sit-down, explain-yourself kind of setting with, you know, brass of an NFL franchise, and that doesn't by any means make you a bad NFL coach. So I thought that as the interview went on yesterday, it became clear that the bigger reason why they hired LaFleur was that he bowled them over so much in the interview process. And LaFleur deserves a lot of credit for that. If you interview well and handle yourself well and present yourself well, that's obviously very important. But my biggest question coming out of yesterday was, okay, did they end up hiring him because they really thought he was the best candidate, or did they really hire him because he had a tremendous interview during a process when the other interviews were a little bit underwhelming? And that, to me, is going to be a question that will be revisited many, many times if LaFleur does not perform well in Green Bay, because at that point, people will begin to ask questions about the validity of the search itself and not necessarily just LaFleur and whatever he does or doesn't accomplish here in Green Bay.
You know, that's a really good observation. That's a point on that, because I thought, too, when he's saying that LaFleur interviewed really well and it became more of a conversation than an interview, and he's just talking about LaFleur being a family man, I'm like, oh, that sounds great, but X's and O's. Can this guy get it done? And you're right. It was more of like, I felt he got the job based on his interview skills than what he really is as a coach. And that might be unfair to LaFleur, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, they absolutely could have thought that LaFleur was the best potential coach of the bunch that they had. And they could also believe that he interviewed the best. Those things are very possible. And just because he interviewed well, maybe he is going to go on and become a really good coach. I just got the vibe that they spent so much time discussing the interview and not a lot of time discussing what they specifically liked about LaFleur, that it felt like he had a fortuitous moment in that he was the last guy in the bottom of the 9th inning during a coaching search that left the Packers pretty, you know, uninspired or unimpressed. And when, you know, you've been traveling all around the country for interviewing these guys from Boston to Tennessee to Florida back to Tennessee, you know, I think that, you know, there was a chance that they were just so enamored by a guy that was different and more impressive than the rest of the interviews that it maybe swayed them a little bit. Now, we, you know, only time will tell if that's true, because if LaFleur goes out and does an amazing job, then obviously they were right. But if LaFleur goes out and struggles, then I think people begin to ask questions about whether or not the interview process itself was valid, because I find it hard to believe that all nine of the guys they interviewed before LaFleur would come across as unimpressive. I know that's what Mark Murphy said, but, you know, come on. Some of these guys have been head coaches before. I'm not really buying that. So does that mean the interview process was flawed? Does that mean they weren't asking the right questions? What does it mean? And if LaFleur, if this thing goes south with LaFleur, then I think all of those questions will resurface, you know, at a later point in time.
All right, I'm going to make a political comparison here, and I will get in trouble for it, but I'm still going to do it. Sometimes they say that on a certain TV cable network, it's really just an audience for the president. That's what he watches, and so they want to get their points across to him. Was there any part of you that thinks maybe that's what they were doing to Rodgers yesterday, where they were trying to? Because there's part of Mark Murphy that seems like he knows he did something wrong. He's trying to convince you not to punish him too hard. How much of yesterday? How much did the weight of Aaron Rodgers weigh over yesterday's press conference? And is there any part of you that thinks maybe they were trying to convince Rodgers that they had the right guy for him?
You know, I didn't really get that vibe, to be honest with you. And I think probably the reason is because, you know, A, LaFleur and Rodgers have already spoken. B, you know, Gutekunst and Rodgers have already spoken about LaFleur. And I just feel like anything that they needed to convince Rodgers of, you know, they certainly have the opportunity to do that through back channels, not through, you know, anything in the public. And they can have much deeper discussions with Rodgers about schematic things and, you know, X's and O's things and potential assistant coaches, and they can talk about all of those things more deeply, you know, behind closed doors than they can, you know, at a public dais, you know, through a press conference setting. So I didn't really get that vibe. I think there were certainly questions. There were questions posed about, you know, what Rodgers knew and how important he is and all those types of things. But I didn't get the sense that from Green Bay's perspective, they were doing anything to sway Aaron Rodgers one way or another, because I think anything that they needed to do to try and sway him, you know, they would have done that in private, because I just don't think yesterday's setting really offers the type of detailed opportunities that Rodgers would want to discuss when it comes to those things like scheme and coaches and coaching style and play calling and all those types of things. You can't really get into that in a public setting. So I did not really get the vibe that they were trying to sway Aaron Rodgers in any way. I just don't think it's the right setting for that.
I didn't get that either. I just kind of, as we were talking about that, it came up. But I still think Gutekunst is the mastermind in all of this. So I'll stand on that one. And if I'm wrong, I'll take the fall for that. As far as the coaching search around the coaching search, Mike Pettine, that was approached yesterday. He said, I haven't really talked to Mike yet. Do we have any details on Mike Pettine's future? And then anybody else? Are we aware of anybody else that may be joining this staff here in the coming days?
Well, there's been numerous reports that, you know, Penn will stick around, even though LaFleur kind of demurred on that yesterday. So it certainly seems like Penn will be back next year, and that LaFleur maybe just didn't want to announce that before, you know, all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. As for, you know, other members of the staff, I saw a report this morning by my old colleague Bob McGinn that said Joe Philbin had been given permission by the Packers to interview for the offensive line coach of the Vikings.
Yeah, so we haven't even touched on that yet today.
Yeah, so it sounds like he could be heading out of town potentially. And then in terms of other candidates that, you know, could be coming back, I saw late last night mentioned by another of my former colleagues, Tom Silverstein, that there are a couple of candidates from San Francisco that Matt LaFleur is interested in interviewing if the 49ers will allow him to do so. And obviously one of those would be his brother, who works out there. So, you know, it sounds like he wants to go with guys he's familiar with, guys he knows, and guys he can get good recommendations on. Now, that doesn't mean he won't retain anyone here from Mike McCarthy's staff. I still think guys like James Campen and, you know, guys like Ben Sermons are names to keep an eye on, but certainly I think he wants to bring in some pieces that he's familiar with, that he has experience with. So I expect the offensive staff to be a little bit of a hodgepodge of any potential holdovers and any new faces. And then the defensive staff, I think that really comes down to whether or not he finalizes this with Pettine. And if he does, then I think he's probably going to lean more heavily on Pettine and see what he wants to do in that regard.
Michael, appreciate it. We'll probably bug you and wake you up next week. We thank you for your time, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. See you later.